Amen. So glad to hear them sing. I always enjoy hearing Joy sing. I tolerate her husband, but I really enjoy her. Now, I'm just teasing, folks. I love hearing both of them sing together. I wish me and my wife could do that. My wife can sing, and I can make a joyful noise. And people are thrilled when I'm through. But on any account, it's good to be here today. We sure love the Savages. They're part of our lives. He's one of my dear friends. We pray for this church. We love you folks. We feel a part of you. It's just a blessing to come back and see faithful folks found faithful. Keep on keeping on for Jesus Christ's sake. And we like that so very, very much. It's sad to see so many people. They come in and then they get out. They get on the mountaintops with Jesus, and when they're down in the valleys, they're gone. And life is full of ups and downs. But God's people just need to be faithful. And if there's ever a subject that we really need to be in tune with, it ought to be the subject of the home. It ought to be. You see, as goes our nation, so goes our churches. As goes our churches, so goes our homes. Our homes are in a mess. If you hadn't noticed that, they're in a mess. And with God's help, we're going to do our part to try to have the right kind of home. And I want to encourage you to be here at part of every service because everything builds. And tonight, I'm very, very excited about where we're going to go tonight. And I hope that you're part of it as well. And if you have your Bibles, take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23, if you would. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I have the home on my heart. It's been a part of my ministry. Our folks get messages on the home about every fourth or fifth message that I preached. It deals with the home. And we believe that it's an important subject, and we want to have strong homes so that homes can affect the church, and the church can affect our community and the world as far as that's concerned with sending out missionaries here and there. By the way, I sure love seeing all your mission flags and things of that sort. It's really, really nice. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 23, are you there? Say amen. Amen. All right, here we go. 2 Samuel chapter 23, look with me at verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. Let's just stop there for a second, okay? Just stop there for a second. These be the last words of David. One of these days, the last words, you're going to hear the last words of your spouse. It could be the husband with the wife. It could be the wife with the husband. One of these days, children are going to hear the last words of their parents. It could go either way. One of these days, your pastor's going to stand up here, and the next week he's not going to be here. You know, there's going to be a last word sometime for some of us. Now, I believe that we're living in the last days. I believe that we're living in the last hours of the last days. In fact, I believe that we're living in the last minutes of the last minutes, maybe the last seconds of the last seconds. I'm looking forward to the soon return of Jesus Christ. But what if he don't come for the next 100 years? What if he don't come for the next 20 years? Many of us, I believe, will be in heaven in 10 years. 20 years for certain for some of us. We'll be in heaven. But one of these days, we're going to say our last words. Just any word can be our last word. Now, the way I hope it happens is I'm preaching a message on keeping people out of hell and reaching them for the glory of God, and then I just kick over and go to heaven. Now, that just sounds good to me. There's a fellow in Corpus Christi, Brother Lester Roloff's church, and, of course, Brother Roloff long being gone, he was preaching up there about going to heaven. And he said, one day we're going to take our last breath. And the fellow fell over dead right there. Everybody thought that was an illustration. They thought that was really, man, how it just looked like a real good illustration. But the nurses of the church got up and examined him. He was dead right there on the spot. Graveyard dead. Hey, that'll wake you up if you're half sleepy. Preacher fall over dead. But that'd be okay. I'd be with the Lord. You'll have to deal with my body. You'll have to deal with that. But on any account, David here says, now these be the last words of David. Now, what are those last words? He says, David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high. Now, that says something about David, a man raised up on high, from being a shepherd boy to being the king. I mean, that's big stuff. And to be picked by God. Wow, big stuff. So, you know, there's something there to talk about. Him being raised on high. The anointed of God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. Now, this is noted by God, the sweet psalmist of Israel. You know, the Psalms are Hebrews hymns. And when you read those Psalms, it ought to jump out at us and mean something. Every song written in our songbook come from the heart of a human heart. And he's saying something. And he might be glorifying the Lord, or he might be talking about his death and resurrection, or he may be talking about being a child, being redeemed, one of his children. He might be talking about amazing grace. Or he might be talking about how great thou art. But the psalmist says something to the heart. And so God refers to him here as the sweet psalmist of Israel. Said, and this is coming from David, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. What a blessing it is to be able to say, I'm speaking by the authority of God's word, by God's Spirit. I'm being led by the Spirit of God. Just a moment when I pray, I generally pray something like this. Lord, help me to say only those things that thou would have me to say. Help me to be ever so sensitive to the promptings and the leading of the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us into all truth. Pretty much every time I pray, I'm praying something along those lines. Because if it's my opinion, it doesn't really matter. But if it's from the Word of God, led by the Spirit of God, it ought to matter to all of us. Amen? And so the David is talking about the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. What a blessing that is. What a highlight in your life to know that His Word and His Word was in my tongue. In other words, He said those things of God. What a great thing. In verse 3, it says, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Isn't that something for God to count David just and ruling in the fear of God? Keeping things on a spiritual level. And in verse 4, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds. Talking about the blessing of a new day. How wonderful it is to wake up. Just to wake up. You know, someday we're going to wake up dead, aren't we? Oh, we probably won't wake up, but my dad woke up dead. And one of these days, we're going to wake up. And every day ought to be a new and fresh day for us. And it ought to be new opportunities to get it right today, whereas we may have not had it right yesterday. All right, so we see here, even as mornings without cloud, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clears, shining after the rain. Now, he's talking about the blessings of heaven, how good God is, and how good God has been to him. I mean, he's on a mountaintop telling about all these wonderful, wonderful things. And then in verse 5, he says, although, this is sad, this will break your heart. He says, although my house be not so with God. The blessings he experienced, his household isn't experiencing those blessings. He said, yet he hath made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, for this is my salvation and all my desire. I mean, he's talking about how good God has been for him. Although he maketh it not so to grow, referring to his family. He said, although my house be not so with God, although he maketh it not to grow. They're not growing in grace. They're not growing in the good things of God. We want our families to grow in grace. We want God to be able to pull back the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon our family. We want those things. And the sad situation is that's not the case in many homes. You know, you can lose your job and recover. You can lose your wealth and recover. You can break a bone and recover. You can lose your car and recover. But we must not lose our family. If we lose our family, it can and will affect eternity. You know, I read of how Abraham went to Egypt, got wrong with God at the wrong time, and went to Egypt and took Lot with him. Good thing Abraham got right with God, but Lot experienced some things he never should have experienced. saw some things he never should have saw, felt some things he never should have felt. Though Abraham came out, Egypt never got out of Lot. And when it was time to divide and go different direction, we see Lot went one direction because it reminded him of the well-watered plains of Egypt. Now, where did he get that knowledge? He got that knowledge when Abraham and Sarah wasn't right with God. Where do our kids get some experience sometimes that will lead them astray later on in life? Where did they get that? Could it be the plug-in drug called television? Could it be the internet? Could it be friends, the wrong kind of friends? Could it be these things? David has a hurt heart here. He says, although my house be not so with God, they're not growing. They're not getting the good things of heaven. The blessings of heaven isn't available for them. It was available for me, but it wasn't available for them. I want heaven's blessings on my family. I want it on my grandchildren. I want that more than life. If it takes my death to get them right and keep them right, come get me, Lord. I mean that with all my soul, because that's how important it is for me to know that my children are walking in truth. And I can be joyful in knowing that they walk in truth. They're living and abiding in truth. They marry in the Lord. They raise a family in the Lord. Those granddarlings and those granddaddies grow up and they marry in the Lord. And they raise a family in the Lord. That's the way it ought to be. Sadly, it's not that way at all. Here you got David with a broken heart. Although my house be not so with God. Although my house be not so with God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask you to help me to say what needs to be said. I pray, Father, that you'll help me to follow the leading and the promptings of the Holy Spirit this morning. I pray I wouldn't say anything that I shouldn't say, but I'd say everything that I should say. And I pray that, Lord, as the people have come, that you would give them ears to hear and a heart to receive the wondrous things from God. And I pray, Father, as a result of being in the house of the Lord, not only will we see problems, but we can see solutions. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to come to you and realize that our need is greater than our abilities and human abilities. We need help from heaven. We need your help, dear Father. Our family is at stake. Our testimony is at stake. Our testimony for you, the light that shines the brightest should shine the brightest. The light that shines the furthest should shine the brightest at home. And I pray, Father, that you'll help us to be all that we should be so that others can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, Father, I pray that you'll bless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, when someone passes away, one of the things that I usually ask them is, what was the last words that you remember? And so many of them will say this, that, this, that, and this, and that. That's why, isn't it a wonderful thing to kiss your wife goodbye in the morning and tell her you love her? And for her to tell him she loves him. And for the children, you pick them up and you drop them off at school or you homeschool or however you do it. But you take them to the Christian school, the homeschool, whatever you do. You pick your children up. And you don't really want them to have come from a home that's fussing and fighting. You don't want them to feel like they've just came from a battlefront. But it ought to be a playground. That's my favorite subject when I was in school. Playgrounds and lunch, my favorite subjects. But children ought to have some of those feelings about can't hardly wait to get home because it's a wonderful place. I think that grandma's home ought to smell like grandma, chocolate chip cookies. You're making memories. You're making memories by things they see, things they experience, things they smell, things they taste. You're making memories. And if I could ask each and every one of you that have ever known your grandparents, what would you say would be a memory of them? Now, one of these days, your grandkids are going to have the same type of memories of you. Last things said are meaningful things. King David was expressing his heart with his last words. He started off by praising God. He stated that God raised him up on high. It was God who anointed him. Spiritual leaders are attacked by Satan to hinder their leadership. And he recognized the fact that God had raised him up. Satan doesn't want you or this church to succeed. He doesn't want our homes to succeed. He doesn't want lasting marriages and well-behaved kids. Satan doesn't want any of that. And so he'll do all he can do to make your home a dysfunctional home. But with God's help, we don't have to let that happen. With God's help, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. With God's help, we can succeed. Without God's help, we're going to surely fail. David was anointed by God and raised up on high for God's glory. The devil does not take that lightly. You make a commitment for the Lord Jesus Christ, for you, for your family, and I guarantee you the devil will take note of it. It was God who honored David as the sweet psalmist of Israel. God gave him talent to write 73 of the 150 Psalms. David said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and in his mouth. It was God the Father and Christ the Rock who made him king. God rules were, number one, rulers must be just. Number two, rulers must rule in the fear of God. Boy, if that took place in our country, in our state, in our city, in our homes, in our church, everything would go much better. David further praised the Lord in verse 4 for giving him hope. And he shall be as a light of the morning when the sun riseth. Hope. You have heard the phrase, if we can just make it into daylight, everything's going to be okay. Because there's something about daylight giving hope. Dark, dreary days with clouds can be depressing. However, cloudless days give hope. Tender grass springing up gives hope after the coldness of winter. David, with his last words, was giving God praise for blessing him. And after giving God praise, David gives his last dying words about his family. He says, although the goodness of God, the blessings of heaven, all these things that I've experienced, although my house be not so with God. Although mentioned twice is an interesting word. It is a conjunction, meaning it means in spite of the fact. In spite of how good God's been, my house isn't right and cannot get the blessings of heaven. David wanted God's blessings for his family. He wanted them to have what he had in God. And I think that every God-blessed parent would want that for their children. We all want God's best. David wanted his family to have a great relationship with God. But David says, although, in other words, his family wasn't right with God, how can God bless them? Circumstances was not right with David's family. David's son, Amnon, molested his sister Tamar. Amnon killed Amnon and incited a rebellion in David's kingdom and died in the process. His kids were at odds over the kingdom and their inheritance. Things didn't look so well for David's family. In verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, I want to recap it again. David was raised on high. He was anointed by God. He was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was on speaking terms with the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus Christ the Rock. David was used to be a blessing to others, as light in the morning, as days without cloud, and as welcome as green grass is in spring. Although my house be not so with God. David was blessed and was a blessing to others. However, his household was not. Can God bless our homes? Will God bless our homes? Wouldn't you like for your family to be blessed more than it is? You know, there's some things that we can put to practice now so that the heavens, the windows of heaven can be opened up and pour out blessings upon our family, and so that we can point toward heaven and say, God did that. God did that. God is good. But no, David's dying statement was, although my house be not so with God. Tammy and I had saved parents, but we did not have a Christian home. Tammy and I started at ground zero with our Christian walk. That's why I think children who are raised in a Christian home ought to be better Christian than their parents. Better. It's their parents that was started off with nothing, gotten saved. They weren't brought to church, taken to church, or sent to church. I mean, when they got saved, things changed for them. Tammy and I did not have a Christian home. They were saved, but they were not Christian. I was forced to go to church until I got saved. At some point in my life, my mother forced me to go to church. I used to say constantly, boy, when I get of age, I'm never going to come to church anymore. That's it. It's over with for me. That's it. But Jesus came into my heart and changed my life. Parents, it doesn't matter what your children say. Do right. Doesn't matter. My wife started on a bus ministry. Her parents sat at home watching TV or sipping coffee or something while everybody else is in church. And their daughters was being picked up by a bus to go to church. One day they looked at each other and they said, this just isn't right. So they got their cold, indifferent heart right with God, and they said, we're going to take our little girl to church. And then from then till the day they died, they were serving the Lord. It is my and was my desire for my children to be saved at an early age and live for Jesus. That's why we took them to church. They had no option. I'm amazed with some parents saying, well, we just let our children choose. Well, do you let them choose what food to eat? Whether it be sweets or real nourishing food? Do you let them decide whether or not they want to take a bath every day? Do you let them decide whether or not they want to go to school? Then why would you allow them to decide on something that's far more important than food and physical things, something that will last for eternity? You're going to let that be on their shoulders as a 5, 6, 8, 10-year-old, 12-year-old child? There's something not quite right about that. We spent money for Christian school and homeschool materials that we didn't have. We still had to finance the local schools. We couldn't get out of that. And in addition to that, we financed our Christian school and our homeschooling materials for our children. We want our children to have all the blessings that they can get to God. Wouldn't it be terrible after spending time and effort and money, your resources on your children, for them to grow up and hate the Lord? God has been good too good to me in raising my children. But wouldn't this be a terrible thought? Although my house be not so with God. Tammy and I have been faithfully married for 40 years. We've been happily married, or at least I've been happily married. You know, you have to work at a happy marriage. It just didn't come easy. We've got to work at some things. If we're going to have a happy marriage, we've got to learn each other. On the way up here, driving, my wife and I, we just got to thinking, and I said, hey, what are some conversation killers? What are some things that if we're talking and I do this or say that or you do this or do that, it kills the conversation right there? Before long, we had about 15 things. 14 of them was me. You ever wonder why your wife just clams up all of a sudden? I told the men this morning, I said, my wife has on many occasions, you sound right, but you're wrong. Now, I've tried to analyze that theologically, and it doesn't make sense. And I try to analyze that educationally. You sound right, but you're wrong. That's not telling me any area that I'm wrong in. It's just saying, I sound good, but it's not good. And so, we've got to work at a happy marriage. You know, when you take two different people from two walks of life and put them under one roof without friction for some time, that won't happen. There's going to be some friction. Marriage was made in heaven, but so was lightning and thunder. God has blessed our marriage since we said I do. 41 years ago in about 5 hours after my third proposal, she said yes. In about 5 hours from now. I tell you what, I don't take that lightly. First time she said no, it broke my heart. Second time I slipped a ring on her finger as we were praying. We were sitting on a blanket, at the lake out. I mean, everybody all around, but I grabbed her hand and I prayed. Dear Lord. And I don't really know what I prayed, but in this pocket I had a ring. And before I got through praying, I slipped that ring on her finger, and I expected her to start speaking in tongues or doing something. When I looked at her and she looked at me, she had big alligator tears. That said, no. So I slipped that ring off just as fast as I could, put it back in my pocket. And then on this day, 41 years ago, I tried it again. I knew that chicken wouldn't work, so I tried tacos. To God be the glory, tacos worked. Because as I got her full of tacos, her ability to say no was gone. And she said yes. 41 years ago today, God has blessed our marriage. 8 months and 21 days into our marriage, God gave us a darling little girl, Amy. We brought this little girl home and we looked at each other and we said, now what? Neither one of us was near our parents. And I had this idea that women knows everything about children, babies especially. And she looked at me and she says, now what? And I looked at her and said, what do you mean now what? So we had this Mrs. Barker in our church. She taught us how to fold diapers. And so we learned how to fold diapers. And folks, it was a blessing starting our family. And God gave us number two and God gave us number three. God blessed us in our faithful marriage to each other with children. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing at the end of our life for Tammy and I to look at each other and our last words about our family is, God has been good to us, although my house be not so with God. Tammy and I, from the time we got married till now, we've been faithful to God. Our theme for the Beeville Baptist Church in 2020 is found faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's the blessing that I have every time I come to Bethel Baptist Church, is I see people that are found faithful. My heart breaks on people that have already gone to heaven. I'm glad for heaven for their sake, but we miss people. But it's a wonderful thing when a person can be found faithful. Find out what you're supposed to do and do it with God's help. Do it. Stay with it. We've been married for 40 years. We've not missed Sunday school or church unnecessarily. We've not been a grief to our pastor or church. We have taught Sunday school, worked the bus ministry, rest home, teenagers, cleaned the church. I've ushered. We've been treasurer. We've kept the books. We've have done secretary work and mowed the lawn, painted and re-roofed our buildings, and anything and everything the church needed, we gladly did for the ministry. In 40 years, we've been in four churches. The church that we was first married in, a church that we went to Bible college in, and then the first church I pastored and the church that I'm pastoring now, and we've been at the last church for right at 31 years. God has been good to us. And every time we left one of those churches, the people didn't rejoice. They didn't say, we're glad to see you go, good riddance. There were some tears for us. What I'm trying to say is we need to be so involved in our church that when we're not here, we're missed. Things won't go as smoothly. When I come back off these trips, the people will say, we had good services, things went well, but it's just not the same without the pastor. We ought to be so involved in our church that things are just not the same without you. We've got to have everybody. And when children are raised up in a home that everybody is involved, everybody is doing what they're supposed to do, I guarantee you, when they get out on their own, they've got a conscience to know they need to be doing that too. We've tried to be generous with our children and teach them generosity in the Lord's work. We tried to do for others and be a blessing to others and teach our children. Wouldn't it be ashamed putting all that effort, all that time, all that expense, all that example into our children to be able to say, the Lord's been good to us, although my house be not so with God. One of the things that my wife and I have tried to strive to have and keep is a tender heart. A tender heart. We need to recognize how meaningful people are to us. We need to recognize how special each child is, and every child's going to be different in personality. Every child's different. We can't just say, well, no, all the kids have got to be like that compliant child. That's just not going to happen any more than all of God's kids are just exactly alike. We all have different personalities, but we must be doing things according to God's will and God's way. We struggle saying no to those who claim to be needy. You've heard about that recent shooting in Texas, that fellow that came in, that church in North Texas. Well, he had been there before to get help from the church. They gave him food. Then he came in for money, and they refused to give him money. And then you know the rest of the story. We have seen a lot of bums come through Beeville. There are some people that really need the help, and our heart breaks because if you help some people, you're hurting them because you're creating a greater dependency. And that's where parents need to be careful with what they do for their kids. You might be creating a greater dependency. You're thinking you're helping them out of this bind now, but if you'll think, they're always in a bind. And the next one's bigger. And the consequences are worse and bigger and worse and worse. And what they need to do is learn way back here that there's consequences. And until they feel some pain, they may not learn. Pain has a wonderful way of teaching us some things. God blesses tender hearts. I want a heart in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. I want by example for my children to have that heart in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. I've got to be what I expect them to be, because what parents do in moderation, children do in excess. And so if parents are half cold, they'll be whole cold, full cold. They'll be frozen. If parents are half in, they won't be in at all. They'll be completely out. Because what parents do in moderation, children do in excess. We've got to be wholly committed to the Lord, wholly committed to the Word of God, wholly committed to the things of God, wholly committed. Our children can have no excuse for not loving the Lord, for not living for the Lord, for not being committed to the things of God. Sad thing is sometimes what we do at church and what we do at home are two different ballgames. And the children see the lack of spirituality at home, and all of a sudden in church, God this and God that, and just sounds so holy, but they know better. What we need to strive to be is be holy in church, at home, on the job, doing business with people. When wronged, be holy. Because there's little eyes that are watching. And one day, what parents do in moderation, kids are going to do in excess. Wouldn't it be great if your kids were a better Christian than you are? That's what we strive for. We've got to provide that example. And we can't do anything about yesterday, but we can do something about now forward. Now forward. And the best thing we can do with our children, especially if they're adults, and we're going to be talking about situations with adult kids and relationships and attitudes and all that starting tonight. But there's things that we can't undo that's already been done. But one thing we can do is gather the kids and say, look, I was wrong in these areas. I wasn't consistent. I said things I shouldn't have said. I've done things I shouldn't have done. I allowed things I should not have ever allowed. It's happened. I can't undo it. But this day forward, you've got a new daddy now. This day forward, you've got a new daddy and mama with a new relationship with God Almighty. And with God's help, we're going to try to be just as consistent as we possibly can for God's glory. I promise you, they will recognize that. They may not say, you know, receive it well at the moment, but it'll register there. And God will have something to start convicting their wayward heart or their wayward heading heart. Maybe turn them around just in the nick of time. I'm glad you're here at the family conference. The greatest thing that you can do for your children and for each other is, if you're not saved, to get saved. With God's help, that's where it all begins. You look at the person that you think is the greatest Christian, the greatest parent, and I promise you it started when they got saved. They've got a Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them in all truth. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, today would be the day. Now would be the time. This would be the place. You would be the person. If you are saved, is your heart right and tender with God? If Jesus could come back right now, would he say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or will he say, woe is me? Let's every head be bowed, please, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I'm praying that God has spoken to our hearts. I've tried to lay out a foundation this morning about having the right kind of home. There's work that's involved. I can't say you can take just a pill and everything's going to be fine. That's not the way it works. God speaks to your heart. You got to put forth some effort. And then with that putting forth some effort, God enables you to do what you need to do. Your first concern is be saved. After that is to stay right with God. Father, I pray that you have spoken to our hearts, shown us some things, today, dear Lord. And I pray that we recognize it's from heaven. And Father, for our family's sake, for our soul's sake, for our spouse's sake, for our community's sake, for our nation's sake, for our world's sake, save those that are nearest hell. May they be saved before it's eternally too late. Help them to realize salvation is now. We can't put it off. It's now. Please bless during this invitation time. In Jesus' name.
Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed.